call this meeting to order. Rentor Services Executive Committee meeting. Do you roll call?
Yeah, Ian Davey, present.
Katrina Holland, present.
And Christian let us know that he had a commitment he needed to be able to make it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, what do you have for us?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know.
The main item today is just to talk about the work plan and what you all want the agenda to be. So there are a few considerations. We have not heard from Commissioner Daly's office of any timeline or changes with screening criteria and security deposits. So the most recent news we have is the email that was sent to all of you with the materials.
Okay.
So during today's meeting, I want to talk about how you all want that conversation to be facilitated and what input you are looking to gather. But I also wanted to put a few other things on your radar. The Housing Bureau would like to do an update on rental registration during the meeting. That could happen as part of the staff update. We're thinking in terms of presentation time. It would only be 5 to 10 minutes, but then it would be as much time as you all wanted to dedicate to discussing it. And then the other update is going to be on the budget process. The city has changed the way it's doing the budget process, and the Rental Services Commission is tasked with advising the budget around rental services. And so we wanted to give you a heads up and get you looped into the process because the budget cycle is about to begin. And so we wanted to update you to what those changes would look like. And it's, again, it will take as much time as you want it to take. The presentation itself would only be 5 to 10 minutes.
And then, of course, we committed as a commission to take positions on screening criteria.
Right. It's a busy meeting.
It is going to be busy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we, of course, committed as a commission to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That statement? Okay.
Yes.
So
I feel like everybody around the table said yes. We needed
yes. Yes.
Yeah. So how do you want to do that process? Mm-hmm.
So I think that my hope is to have people as prepared as possible coming into the meeting to be ready to go with whatever, however they feel about it or wherever they're at. Last time I was going to structure the conversation as for screening criteria and security deposits separately, for each person to first indicate whether they support the proposal or do not support the proposal, and then to give a few sentences that they would like included to whatever letter they want to attach their name to.
That makes sense.
Okay. I know there's also been conversation from the commission about whether... So some people wanted to get more into the components of each policy, and so instead of saying, I support screening criteria, say, I support changes to the individualized assessment, I support the changes to the identification documents that support the change, and so like to chunk it out in components. My concern is that that's going to take a very, very long time to go piece by piece through the entire policy and for everyone to share, this is how I feel about it, this is why I feel about it.
And that doesn't really advise the mayor nor council.
Right, and then the letters would have to reflect all of that, yeah. And so my thought is to just let people choose what they want to emphasize and what they want to add.
Sorry, I didn't know when they started playing music here.
That's okay.
Yeah, it threw us off. We almost got back in the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay, so would it go something like this? We have talked at length about security deposits, yay or nay. We've talked at length about screening criteria, yay or nay. Wow, okay. So I do agree that it keeps it simpler and it gives council and the mayor like sort of blunt assessment of how folks in the room feel, but it doesn't give that more nuanced. And maybe that's fine because we or Commissioner Daly isn't expecting there to be a lot of adjustment of the policy at council, mm-hmm. and all they need to know is are we up or down. But
maybe we can do a scale.
So my concern is we have committed to doing letters, majority letter, minority letter.
Right, but we can establish like a scale agreement of 1 to 5. And
I don't know how to represent that in a letter. But like three people were twos, four people were ones, there were five fives. And like, I don't know how well that will translate to, I mean, we can try it.
What about this? What about we figure out who's up or down on each piece, mm-hmm. and then do you feel like you can still provide subsequent nuance about where different, like where the entry points were, or where the...
So what I was hoping actually is that we do a round robin, and everyone would say yes, no, and then like high level, what do you want to emphasize in the letter? And so that could be, I have concerns about this, I think this is bad, I think this is really important, I think we need to absolutely keep this, and so kind of let each person decide what is most important to you in the screening criteria policy. Like, what do you want to be calling out in the letter? That was my thought.
And how do we come to the conclusion that you would be writing nuance?
Mm-hmm. So traditionally staff prepares letters to represent advisory body opinions, and then the advisory bodies give feedback to the letter.
Because I'm just wondering...
Who else is going to write it?
Well, I was just thinking, as far as this nuance piece is, like, specific areas of concern, what if we ask people to submit their own attachments?
I just think consistency-wise, that's why you had all the phone calls, right?
And because I think that you would get an essay as opposed to a letter. And so my hope is, I want it to be in people's own words, and so what I'm hoping is that people will come to the meeting with like, here are like the three things I really care about, and then they'll say those things during the meeting, and I can then just put that into the letter. So I don't have to like parse through like, here's 6 months of conversation, I have picked that these are the most important themes. So my hope is that people during the meeting can be like, this is my priority, this is what I really want council to know out of this.
But you know that this particular group, given how political it is going to want their nuance represented as accurately as possible. So maybe putting the onus on them would be a safer bet. So then the bureau's responsibility would be to, either on a scale or a yay or nay, detail specificities of the conversation. You can pull out whatever highlights you push, and then if anybody wants to add anything specific or give additional nuance, then they submit it as an attachment.
They can submit their own letter, and so in the bylaws, what the process that was written is, if people, there's going to be a draft at some point, and then the commission will respond and say, I don't agree with this, I felt differently, you characterized my comment wrong to me. And then if they felt happy about the change, that's great. If they don't feel happy about the change, they always have the option of writing their own letter.
Who do we limit the number of things that can be added to the letter?
You mean limit, like everyone goes around and says yay or nay and gives three either things they like about it and or concerns? That's fine with me. I just want to make sure, this was a follow-up I was going to ask, is like, I can say I'm, for example, if I'm in favor, I'm very in favor of this because of the equity goals. I have a concern about the implementation or whatever it is. But do you think we need to limit? I mean, are you worried that people are going, in terms of timing, I think we have the time to do this. And this should be the meeting of all meetings where we, you know, give time for people. But are you worried that someone's going to, like, read a, you know, just so you guys can...
I worry some people will give a list of 10 considerations.
I think that's a real concern. And I think something we can emphasize is this does not cap your involvement as individuals. It's understood and expected that a number of you will be engaging City Hall directly, both privately and publicly during meetings, and whatever is or isn't in the letter doesn't limit your engagement. And so I expect people will add much more than what is in the letters, but the letters are supposed to summarize as a body, the Rental Services Commission wanted to send them this communication to council.
I'm just worried we won't get to a final product. Because we haven't.
This is the first time this is being done, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think do you two feel like you can facilitate in a way that you can cut people off after three or so comments?
I think we established the expectation ahead of time. Yeah.
I think the importance is setting the expectation.
What's your first? Second.
We're no stranger to time limits.
Not at all.
My preference would be to send parameters to people before the meeting. So so the meeting materials email will go out next Tuesday. And so my hope is if we can figure out today what we want to do, I can put that in the email and people have a week to figure out, this is what I really care about, this is how I'm going to say what I'm
going to
say.
What if we do it as a survey ahead of time?
Survey what the various topics of where you want to do various topics? How many topics do you feel like there are? This is the, like when you have the big buckets, how many are there, like 15?
I don't know for the screening criteria policy because it's been rearranged so many times, but for security deposits, I think at one point there's like 5 different topics and it's a smaller policy.
Okay. So, for guidance purposes, maybe like the email from you said we'll be taking positions this week up or down, and then each person may provide like a few things they like or concerns, and here's a list of, for your, for refreshing your memory, here's a list of those potential issues that we touched on. And then we could do something a little more formal like that, but I just think that ultimately this can't be the longest letter in the world. Like, council and mayor have to be able to do something with it. So what's most important to them is probably that, the scorekeeping, like, is it, forgetting how many are on the commission, but is it like 10 to 3, or is it like an equal split? And then they're going to want to know who those people are, and then maybe they'll want to know, like, what were the issues of concern here? Mm-hmm. Because I anticipate that, like, the mayor could say, well, I've heard about this issue a few times from constituents, like, what was the conversation here? I just think that there's going to be enough meat for them without us, each having done a survey and tallying things up like that. I also think it might be hard. Like, as I think back on some of those issues, I didn't take a really strong position on them because I didn't have a strong opinion. So I think it might be hard for me to like go through and be like, well, this one I was pro and this one I was against in a meaningful way.
That's why I'm making the suggestion of a scale. Like a red to green, or a 1-4, or a 1-5. Like, in that way.
But I don't even know if I could do that. I could be like, I'm trying to think about sort of, less controversial item on there, and I'd be like, I guess I'm a 3.
ID requirements?
ID requirements, okay, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of one of the less controversial ones.
Yeah. I want to keep this simple.
So what I have right now is in the email, I would let people know that at the upcoming meeting, we're going to have everyone give positions, whether they support or don't support. And they also have an option of providing a list of items of concern or items they support.
Can I ask a question? What's the expectation? Is it, 'cause I don't know that that's the expectation of City Council. I'm wondering if the expectation of City Council is for this group to act similar to a statewide landlord-tenant coalition that negotiates on items to eventually present something that we all can agree on. That's what I think the expectation is. I don't know if that's true or not. Do you have insight on that?
I don't think that's the expectation on this, because it's a commissioner-initiated thing rather than a council-referred thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With the relocation assistance TAC, that was council saying, hey, pull these people together.
Come to agreement.
Fix the technical stuff and see if you can come to agreement on other changes.
Right.
This is a single commissioner preparing a piece of legislation to go before council. And so I think from the other offices' perspectives, when they either when Commissioner Udaly's office is shopping the final proposal around, or going to council and they're reviewing the document, right, they're going to want to know, okay, I know we have this rental services commission, what did they think of this? Generally, not maybe specifically, but generally of, okay, I think their takeaways are going to be, okay, the group was kind of split, and here were some of the major issues on both sides of the vote.
And I think that's it. Where council, I think each office will give a different answer on what they're looking for, but more generally, they feel like the Rental Services Commission, the Commission of Experts, you're all smart people, and so they're wanting to know, this policy is coming in front of us, what did the smart people think? Like, what do we need to be thinking about?
Yeah. And, you know, realistically, if you're thinking about it practically, like Commissioner Fritz will probably read the letter. Commissioner Saltzman, depending on when this goes, is losing policy staff, so, and staff in general, because they're getting other jobs. And then you've got Commissioners Fish in the mayor's office, who the mayor's office is probably going to want to generally know where the commission stands and what the major issues are. And with Fish, I don't know. I can't anticipate that. I know. Yeah, we can. Yeah. Just because his office hasn't been as engaged in the day-to-day.
I think that we're not going to transcend the politics. We can maybe blunt them a little, because everyone's talked about it, and no secrets over talking about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they want to see a final product.
In that case, keep it simple.
Yeah, I think,
which means...
Sorry, just to add another thing. I think any of the offices will want, I agree with Andres, will want to know who's on the commission again, where did they stand, because they will follow up with people individually. Mm-hmm. So they may, if they see like a 7 or whatever the product ends up being, and they're like, oh, okay, this thing, you know, Community Alliance Tenants, Come Forward, or any of the other organizations, even though you're not there by virtue of your organization, they're gonna see your name, so likely associate you with your organization or just your work on the issue and say, huh, I'm going to get some more perspective. Maybe I'll give them a call individually. That has happened with our other commissions before, like PHAC. They'll call individual commissioners and say, oh, yeah, I noticed that you had these thoughts on this thing. Could we set up a meeting to talk about it? That could happen.
I think we should go with the scale of that.
You always have the most complicated stuff. Well, what about this? There's always the option that you can submit something more detailed than anyone can.
Yeah.
So anyone can give.
But I'm just thinking about, like, for example, the difference between Jessica and Christian. Christian has said very openly, you know, I get the premise, this makes sense. And even Mike, get the premise, this makes sense. I just have really, really tough concerns. He would be a 3, whereas Christian would say, well, my organization wants me to be a 1, so he would go to 1, and then Jessica would probably end up at a 2. You know what I mean? And then we, as it currently stands, maybe some of the advocates would say, yeah, we like the policy, but we can't give it a 5. You know what I mean?
I think you're illustrating a real challenge in creating a product that I've definitely thought a lot about, where even getting people to be on the same letter with each other and saying,
yeah,
well, like, this person's concerns, I'm willing to have my name on the same letter that lists their concerns, even though that's, like, not
that bad. Okay.
Well, in terms of, like, people are going to have different concerns. They're going to have different things emphasized, and they might agree on the policy, but not share whatever thought that is.
So then maybe instead of trying to, like, aggregate it all together to say the overall commission was a number blah, we just list each person, detail what the scale is, have folks agree on what a scale may be, and then each person is listed and then they have their number next to them, and just let the council figure out, like, respond to that.
No. I want the council to actually read the letter.
And I think that's the trade-off.
It's many pages of scales. We have like an average at the bottom. 2.5. This is so, like, it's right in the middle. Yeah.
What I will say, on behalf of Andreas, I think a little bit of Kim, if I had to guess, I think the more complex you make it, like with the scale, what was probably likely going to happen is during the hearing, some commissioner will say, we got this letter from the Rental Services Commission, it has this scale of support, what does that mean? At which point, the Bureau is not presenting this proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming Jamie will be presenting it on behalf of Commissioner Daly's office. They'll probably turn to myself or Andreas or someone from the Bureau to say, yeah, can you come up here and explain a little, like, so that'll probably happen,
mm-hmm.
just to put it out there. it might be complicated for us to try and articulate the scale approach, what exactly individual valuations mean during a hearing at Ed Council. And we'll try generally to say they want to create a spectrum of support, and the selection of one versus three versus four was up to them. We could tell you what the end posts are, but just put that out there. I could see that happening.
Which I don't think is bad.
No, I just wanted to like put it out there. Like that may happen either in our in calls beforehand.
Yeah.
To somebody at the bureau or during the hearing. I mean, have someone, hey, can you just, we have this official on the record, officially on the record from the Rental Services Commission. Can you explain a bit more what this means?
I think people would be willing to respond more to.
Well, I just think, as I think through the issues, I think about having difficulty putting a scale on certain issues. Or do you mean a scale overall? Where
overall. Yeah, overall. No, I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about specific issues. No, I was saying the scale overall. So each person, so one means I'm not in support. Five means I am in support. And then you have each person detail their overall support of the policy on a scale of 1 to 5. And so you put, this person said 3, this person said 2, this person said 5, this person said 4. And then anybody, if there are additional issues or nuances that need to be added, then Andres would capture that. Because my worry is we'll end up in this consistent circle that we've been in, where we're asking people to say support or don't support, and then they go, well, I support, but blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't support, but I would, blah, 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 and then we don't get anywhere. And Andres needs product.
If you do a scale, I would say make it even, so there is no neutral.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So and four, then so if you're doing four, then you could just do strongly support, support, oppose, strongly oppose. And like you can translate the numbers into how strong people feel about something.
So, Katrina, I understand your thinking on it in terms of how certain voices in the room might come down. But I guess one thing for you to consider is I wouldn't assume that there's only going to be one side of that group that comes down with more nuance.
Oh, no, I don't. No, because we also have some nuance that we want to explain.
We
get. Yeah. And we're the strongest, one of the strongest advocates for the policy.
So let me ask a point of clarification. Are you thinking that staff will and collect everyone's
rating,
but plus their concerns or caveats mm-hmm. into a longer letter of every commissioner and then their concerns or caveats?
No, Andres, you said we set up to 3 issues potentially. Like up to 3 issues. So,
step down for a second. Okay.
So say for example, it would look like.
Okay, no, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like an add your laundry list of issues for the policy, right? If it's like, capping you at 2 to 3 major points you want to highlight that guide your positioning. Yes. Yeah. I'd be concerned about it. That would be a long letter.
No, me too.
Okay.
Would you read it?
Read it what?
Would you read the piggy letter?
Oh, I have to read the thing. We're not worried.
That's true.
To be prepared in case I get a call about it.
That's true. That's okay.
Okay.
Then
if you do use a scale, I don't have a solution for this, but maybe you might be open to us thinking about it. There's oppose, strongly agree with, and strongly oppose, and then in the middle, to me, sort of it's not a really meaningful indicator, even if it's a 4 scale or a 3 scale. So I think it would be better just for the middle indicators to say what it is that you're waffling about. Needs technical improvement, or some kind of label like that, versus a 1, right? Or scale.
Yeah.
What if it was a 1 to 2 scale?
That's yes or no.
I also don't mean to throw a wrench into things.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to have a no position. So some people.
Oh, and abstain.
Some people on the commission are not allowed.
Right.
I don't want to get into it, but they're, by virtue of the positions they hold, they're not allowed to take a position on these kinds of things.
So we're back to five.
Right.
So whether it's an abstention box or a no position box, there are some people who can't take a position on stuff, this stuff. And something that's happened on other commissions.
Right.
Like if you don't have approval of your board, or if you work for a, like Elisa from Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Can't take a position.
Always had to say, yeah. Well, I've got no official position,
right.
But.
So would you envision that they would then have their own letter or be on no letter in terms of
the... No, we just have to have them as an abstention or no position.
Right, but I'm imagining one of the letters is going to be in favor of the policy, one of them is going to be against the policy.
Oh, you're still thinking of the two-letter scenario.
Right. Or maybe it's just now one letter with, like, here's the spectrum of where it's at.
I think one letter.
I think you just put a footnote saying... On both letters. One letter or both letters saying these members either abstained or took no position or were absent from the vote.
Right. I'm curious, are they able to provide input through the letters still? Or are they saying, I have nothing to say about these policies?
There may be some people who take no position because they're not quite ready yet. And they're going to say, I have these concerns. It's very true. I can see that.
Absolutely.
With at least one person.
Okay, well, if we do one letter and have the spectrum from support to non-support, there's a place for neutral. But if we do two separate letters, there is no neutral place on them.
I would say it would be like a neutral, like 1 through 5. It would be 1 through 4 still, or like an abstention box.
Oh, I see.
So yeah. Then even if you don't, even if you take a vote, but do it through anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you'll mind. I've talked to Johnny about this before. But Fair Housing Council, their board wants to review stuff before he takes positions on things, mm-hmm. on certain things.
Can you say it again?
Their board has to review.
You only get shared with me and Andreas that depending on the thing, their board needs to review the thing before he can take a position because he is associated with the Fair Housing Council of Oregon.
So then maybe that is further reason for us to send out a survey ahead of time with the policy. Self-select, and if there are any comments or top three issues that people have, instead of selecting them in a drop-down, maybe it's a paragraph that somebody is allowed to write, and then it's sent to Andres, and then he takes those responses and characterizes them in a letter, and then it's sent to the letter.
So, then what do we do at the meeting? Do we go to the meeting also?
Yeah, because you can't technically take that kind of a position. I mean, staff can prep for it by working with individual members, but then to formally take that action, it has to be during a public meeting.
So I would rather just sit at the meeting and say, I am yes or no on this policy because of, I'm yes because of this, or I'm no because of this, and I'm making concerns about this. So would I need to do the survey? How would the survey differ from that?
I don't know. We just don't want to run into a situation where Nick Cuny can't take a position.
I was just more flagging that not from a process, just that there has to be that option.
Yeah.
Whether it's in advance or during the meeting, we can't. I agree about not having allowing for a neutral on a scale, if a scale is chosen, but we have to allow people to abstain.
So I guess you
not from a process, from a product, for a product.
Right. Okay, that's fine. I think there's value. There's still going to be an opportunity to give feedback on those specific items. So I guess I would ask, are you doing this to help you think about where you would fall, or are you thinking about others in the group and where they would fall?
I'm thinking about others in the group. So for example, let's talk politics for a second. There are three different landlords in the room that I can think of who would probably be on different, are in different spaces with a scale, right?
Different spaces up here.
Different spaces up here, and as a position for the organization, than a different landlord group. I would want council to see that. That makes
but
sense for
the
council.
Assumption there is that how people feel up here is how they're really going to work
down. It's true. It's a risk. But I think I feel like we would capture people's truer positions.
I think we capture some people's truer positions.
Some people's truer positions.
Capture your truer position. I don't know that we can capture everyone's truer positions. Especially people whose positions are focused on a single issue versus a broader constituency.
Tell me more.
Dollars versus people.
So you're saying do yes or no because...
I'm not saying anything. I'm just raising that as a thought exercise for you.
Because I
can see that you are thinking about all the constituent calls you've received and how they're varied, which I understand they would be because you have a broad membership or constituency.
Yeah.
And that matters to you. And I just don't know if everyone else is thinking that way. So there's a beauty or an elegance in a simpler, more simple model because people can't sort of waffle and it doesn't muddle the true picture as much because it's black and white.
I don't see that being possible.
Even if you're black and white and said, I'm black and white, or I'm yes or no, but I still have these issues that people brought to me or that I know would come up for my participants or that would make my business more difficult to
Yeah. I'm actually not thinking about it just for Kat. I really am. I want to capture the positions of the different landlords in the room. I would be very surprised to see if they all ended up in one. I really would be. And I think that's valuable information for the council to know. Like, oh, well, this group said this, this group said this. Maybe it's not this. Maybe it is this. Because ultimately, they're making the decision or not. And so I would love for that to be captured, if possible. And if it doesn't, then I was wrong.
Okay.
I just don't see the yes or no happening. I really don't.
We kind of need you two to come to.
I know!
Since Christian's not here.
I know!
You?
Well, I guess the whole staff could just decide, but...
Did Trina fall right?
As executive committee, you gotta... You know, Andres has been...
Andres, from your perspective in talking with people on the phone, do you think a yes or no would garner a response from folks, or do you think a scale would garner a definitive response from folks?
I think that people have been preparing for a yes or no, and I haven't heard concerns about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I'm having difficulty is that they're going to lead to two different products, where one of them is going to be more individualized and speak to, like, so there are 13 people on the commission, and different breakdown is like, here's where everyone landed. And the other one's going to be, we broke the commission in half. Half says this, half says this. And obviously it's not going to be 50-50, but
mm-hmm.
Those are going to be read differently and provide different kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
There's value to both of them, and I think that's where it's difficult.
But in terms of your responses from people, you feel like people are prepared to give yes or no?
That is what we've been saying, and no one has reached out or mentioned that they had concerns or difficulties.
Well, if it's not going to have concerns, that's fine. I just don't want to run into a continuous yes, but blah, 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 so maybe I'm not a yes.
Right.
No, but blah, 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 so maybe I am a no. Or maybe I'm a yes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's where we've been at. I just want to get out of that cycle.
And it could potentially, okay, I don't really have a strong opinion on this, because I think we can facilitate either, could potentially lead to a bunch of abstentions.
With a yes or no?
Yeah, that's the consequence of a yes or no. If folks really aren't comfortable making the, they'll just abstain.
And then
I've seen that happen, not with the one-on-ten stuff, but another stuff we've done.
That happened in tech.
It did, that's right. So it did happen in tech, that's right. A lot of people, some of our votes, everybody abstained.
Yes.
I remember that, I forgot about that, yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't want.
Right.
But we have to allow for it.
But so we have to allow for it.
We do have to allow for people to abstain.
I voice my feelings. I will.
You're still there.
Abstention. Yeah, I guess that's what I was gonna say.
What?
You try and say this abstention is kind of like a scale, but it's not. It's right as an abstention.
Yeah, it's right as an abstention. So, well, maybe though, to avoid that, to go with a yes or no, the abstention can only be used if you're literally unable to provide a position.
People, no? Public officials can choose to abstain for whatever reason they want, and you all are public officials on this. You can't put parameters on abstentions.
But what if we run into a situation where Kat says yes?
We have to allow people to abstain without conditions.
Says no, and everybody else abstains. That would look awful.
Yeah.
Educate people maybe about the downside of being abstaining. Discouraging.
Should we be prepared to do that?
To educate people on the downside of abstaining.
Yeah.
I would. I was hoping that there would be an opportunity for someone to say that. I mean, I think that is, everyone here has made a commitment, done a lot of work, and thought this over, and we recognize people will get potential blowback, but we need to be courageous at some point. I know something that was learned. Council needs to know, right? This is an advisory body. Let's advise.
What I would definitely emphasize is that you all have been talking about this for a lot of time. You put a lot of energy into giving input to this policy, and the product the council receives is letters. And so if you were abstaining, what council gets is none of the conversation. Like, you miss out on what did council learn, like what was impacted then.
No, I'm really favoring 1-4. I really am.
I mean, you could run into the same thing on that, because we have to allow it, and people would just say, I don't want to choose 1-4, I'm going to abstain.
Right.
It's the same situation, well, from my perspective, you could run into the same issue with both approaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, in my mind, it's still yes, no. It's just a yes or a strong yes, or a no or a strong no. Mm-hmm.
I just think we're going to get, here's how I feel. I feel that always, that approach almost always skews toward status quo. Because it's very easy to say no to something, but it's very hard to say a strong yes to something because it's new and different. And when you propose something new and different that goes away from the status quo, there's going to be something for every single person that always
keeps them from being
a little sure that they want to be a 4, whereas everyone who's fine with the status quo is definitely going to go 1. And so it's going to, you know, whereas you might expect an average to be a 2.5 between 1 and 4, it's going to skew below that. So again,
concerned that the council will say, oh, that's not a great idea.
Yeah, I'm not concerned with the ultimate issue. I'm concerned about how people represent themselves given a status quo versus something new and different and disruptive. But if you think a 1-4, I trust your judgment. If you think a 1-4 is...
Why don't we ask the council? Or why don't we ask the commission?
Nope, this is our leadership opportunity. Because this is the first of many. We're going to hopefully do this on many in the future.
The two of you have had almost an hour conversation on this, and the Rental Services Commission can do the same.
Right!
And that's why we bring things to you.
And the Rental Services Commission can't vote on anything outside of being in person.
No, it needs to have the 3rd meetings, and this is about your next meeting.
Because this is a public meeting,
right.
So you can't. make a decision. You could refer to your bylaws and rules committee.
They're not meeting.
Never mind, don't do that,
please. then the scale will go from 1 to 13.
You've given this a lot of thought. If you feel strongly about it.
I'm fine with either. I want to, my ultimate goal, truly, is to, one, avoid this yes or no trap that people get locked in, where they don't actually give their official answer because they don't feel comfortable yet. And so they go, yes, but blah, blah, no, but blah, blah, blah. And then we end up getting nothing. We tried it before, it didn't work. So I'm interested in trying something new. And then, two, I'm really interested in characterizing people's positions as close to true as possible. And I don't know that a yes or no does that. But I share your concern about it skewing towards the status quo. That would be bad. Politically, too. So I don't care. Either or is good.
You care.
No, I genuinely don't after this conversation. Either or is good. We're going to end up with extensions anyway. We're going to end up with your prediction may be right, skewed toward no, which would be politically bad for the policy. And having people on record is a good thing as a yes or no. So, yeah.
I think that what gives people the comfort with saying yes or no is the, but I have these concerns, or because I have this overarching interest that I agree with. So there will be the nuance that I think you're trying to get to in the two and the three.
Cool.
Okay. So up or down, yes or no?
Do we have to make an official vote?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Making sure I am understanding.
Yes or no?
I propose a yes or no. Okay. The opportunity to clarify the narrative.
Now, what does clarification look like?
I'm just saying you can say three things. For the letter, what are your three things you want?
Yeah, we can try to limit it. We could limit it to three things, three topics.
Okay. Are we defining what those topics are? I heard you describe that earlier.
And they're saying it out loud, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to define them, but we could say, for example, here's a list of those topics as a refresher. Mm-hmm. Because we've gone over so many issues for so long, and so if people see 15 things, they'll likely drop it into those 15 buckets, but someone else might say something.
Just to be clear, as you all will be facilitating, they can't send them in after. They need to say, I'm a yes or I'm a no, and here's why. It needs to be out loud, on the record.
I'll emphasize that in the email.
Because I think there could be some commissioners that say, oh yeah, can I send in my caveats? Can I just email them to Andreas? No, it needs to be on the record in the meeting.
Yeah.
So as the facilitators, that's just it. As you're staffing it, mm-hmm. however you want to limit it, that's up to you all. I just want to make sure that it comes in on the record so that when the letter or letters are finally drafted, it has the vote and the conditions of someone's vote on the record. Okay. So the public could be there to hear it.
Is there some way we can get that information or what that list is going to be ahead of time?
Andres would say,
yeah, it's going to go out.
And the decision points that have to be made so people can do what they need to do.
Yeah, I'm going to send. So I'm putting this all. The reason I want to check with you is because I want to put this all in the email that goes out next Tuesday. And so that email will have meeting materials, but also this is exactly what we're doing in the meeting. Come prepared with an up or down on each policy with the three things you want in the letter. Be aware that you can't add things after the meeting. Here is a list of policy components and the importance of taking a position.
Great.
Cool. We have 5 minutes.
Can I throw a couple topics that I want to check in on? In whatever order. Attendance and membership.
Angelus, I also wanted to to us to talk about the fair housing meeting that's happening before.
Can we bring that before? That'd be a perfect addition.
Sorry, what about that meeting, Kim?
It's happening before the RSC, so I just wanted to touch base with the folks here about that.
So they're aware that that will be happening before the meeting?
This is the public meeting?
So before the Rental Services Commission, you guys meet at 2:30. From 12:30 to 2:30, the Fair Housing Advocacy Committee will be meeting to talk about the audit report. I've invited you and Katrina to the meeting on the 19th. So, and will probably be less of a consideration for you, but you need to be aware that some of your members, your RSC members, will be arriving at the Housing Bureau at 12:30 and staying all the way through your meeting. We're going to feed them, but they'll probably be a little tired and have addressed a pretty contentious issue prior, and you all are welcome to that earlier meeting as well.
Scheduling's been tough. Or well, anyways.
No, it's fine.
Questions about attendance and meeting?
Yeah.
Membership, sir? What were you wondering about?
Yeah,
Attendance, I just wanted to check in on a few voices who haven't been in the room.
Oh.
Membership, I just wanted to make a suggestion if there are future openings.
Okay. For attendance, the current attendance policy is if people email us before the meeting and tell us that they're not going to be there, that their attendance is excused. Informally, the bylaws say that as long as your attendances are excused, there's no limit on how many excused attendances you can have.
You think we should change that?
Not necessarily, but I'm just wondering if we can be more accommodating to certain people or if we need to change things because. And I've thought of other people in the past, but Raul comes to mind. Like when I was on the phone call, and I think August, he was on there and had some really helpful feedback that we've just been missing. And I am rarely in a position of saying, like, I'm worried about attendance to come down on someone. It's more that I value what they're offering, and
I can reach out.
Worried that we're not getting thoughts from him. And I think there was someone else, but I'm getting to this right now. And, you know, we have a policy and people have things that come up, so I get that. I just, you know, want to make sure we're checking in. And then the other thing on membership was, I realized there isn't anyone from the affordable housing community in the room beyond Move Forward. I don't think that that's the case. Like, the owner, landlord owner role. So, just a thought. Which side of the table they would necessarily be on.
Yeah, I think it's worth knowing.
That was it.
Thank you. So what we are planning on for the agenda is, I think the big question I have for you all is where you want public testimony. So we're gonna open the meeting, roll call minutes, staff update. In that, we'll be talking about rental registration and then the budget process. So I guess first, if you want to put hard caps on time, now would be the time to do so for those.
Well, what's the rest of it? So we have rental registration at some point, budget, and then we have
positions.
This big topic, which is the positions. Are we doing like, just, we're not talking substance, we do 30 minutes for positions and then we move on?
Those are all of the items I had for this meeting.
I think it's a great idea to limit the positions to 30 minutes instead of an hour.
Sure. What do you want to do after that?
It sounds like you have updates. So
you would put the updates at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Well, or do we do a last round of public testimony at the very beginning to inform where people are on the screening criteria? Yeah.
I assume that. That's how it's always been, right? Public testimony always happens before discussion.
But it usually happens after a presentation, and there's not necessarily a presentation. That's the distinction.
Well, there would be a presentation of how a decision is going to work today.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We could do an introduction of how things are going to work today at the public testimony, decisions, and then move on to the additional topic items.
Okay.
Right?
We can definitely do that.
good.
Great.
Yeah.
So
this 30 minutes is going to be fun.
2 minutes and 30 seconds a person.
So why we need to send it ahead of time so people are prepared. Mm-hmm.
So to be clear, the presentation's going to be explaining what positions will be and what the meeting will be for. Then you turn it over to public testimony to give the public a chance to chime in about anything. And then you have 30 minutes of positions from commission members. And then you wanted to do the updates on rental registration and the budget process at the end?
Yeah. You know, it might be helpful during that time, as you're explaining the decision points, is to have what the letter may look like. Not necessarily what the words may be, but just what the outline may be. So here will be this, here will be this, here will be this, here's folks' names, blah, blah, blah. Here's where your decision will be. Here's where your concerns will be listed. Here's your three spots, that kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds good.
That way we can avoid what we just went through. So will it do this? Will it say that?
It's a good conversation, relationship building.
Is how it goes.
The 30-minute conversation we just had?
That was an hour.
Okay, that's clarity for me.
Okay. Perfect. And so, wait, does that mean then we are now saying any additional changes that are made, if Commissioner Udaly makes additional changes to the policy, they will not be further discussed at Renter Services Commission? Does the decision point mean we're done talking about it?
You can always reopen a conversation.
Yeah, but it's a good point. We might get that question, and we should address it up front, which is basically just, you know, we intend to be finished with this conversation. We gave it high some people in the room. We have no way to need that. But if there's essential changes, then we look at it again. Because people might ask that.
Like, if the policy completely changes or changes in the way where you as an executive commission committee or the commission as a whole wants to talk about it again because they feel like the letters are less relevant or something important changed, I think that's your prerogative as part of the agenda setting.
Yeah, but does that then mean that we use your resources to write the letter to this amended thing?
My preference would be that we could edit letters once they exist instead of just scrapping the letter and starting over, but depending on what happens. I think there will be things beyond our control no matter what. And so we just have to.
And we can say if there's interest in this group in bringing it back, you know, we can consider that. Now, my concern is that people are going to not take a position on the letter, like Mike might not, because he's worried. I mean, I'm sorry, on the policy, because he's worried that the policy is going to change. He's been pretty vocal about that. Mm-hmm. So, that I think, you know, to Kim's point, is where we need to be. Saying we really encourage everyone to take a position here. We need to know how you feel. You've done a lot of work. And yes, it could change, and we can always bring it back and have a subsequent discussion that adapts the letter to the shareholder members.
That would be my preference.
So then we're talking about rental registration. What was the other topic at the end?
The budget process, how the city's budget process is changing and what that means for the rental services office and the commission.
What can you give us a snapshot of that?
That's presenting.
Right now.
Not of the whole issue. So let me just rephrase it. In the past, there have been requests to see where some of the bureau's budget dollars go. And so is the exercise meant to educate about that so that the RSC can have input in that? Because I think the answer is no, and we should be very clear about that up front.
What does input mean?
That would be one of the questions that you'd be on the spot having to answer.
This is happening in 2 weeks, right? So the city is changing their budget process. And so we're internally in the process of kind of redoing everything. Essentially, we're going from a base budget style process to a process where all of our program areas have to have program offers within them. So the rental services office, and Kim's working on this right now, will have program offers that capture all of the stuff we do, right? So there'll be a policy and planning function, which the RSC falls in that. There'll be a service contracts function. There's a next RSC meeting, because these budget changes are rolling out right now, so the Bureau, the city's a bit behind schedule. So I'm going to be prepared to adapt based on where we are. Worst case scenario, we're just going to give an overview of the process and how the RSC can weigh in December on what our program offers are. Best case scenario, we can go over what the budget for the rental services office is. But while I'm also happy to provide an overview of the entire Bureau's budget, the Rental Services Commission, their feedback per the code is specifically on the Rental Services Office, what we're calling that program offers. So.
What was the noun there?
To give feedback.
Feedback?
Yeah, we'll accept feedback. I mean, it could be something, this is great, or this, we don't want this service, we don't want this program offer, we think we should be funding these kinds of programs, or we really think the city needs to fund these other kinds of programs in addition to what's currently being funded.
Okay, so is it 15 minutes and 15 minutes discussion? Like if it's a 30 minute, well, yes. I guess how much discussion do you want, and then how long would the presentation output be?
You know, I think either way, it's about a 5 to 10 minute presentation. You know, the rental services office, the budget process is a pretty short presentation at a high level if we don't have all of the detail of program offers done yet. If we do, the rental services office's budget is pretty easy to explain. It's about $2 million for staffing, services, and the administrative functions for relocation assistance, right? So it would just be going
through. Do we know if that number is going to change at all?
We do not.
We do not.
What do you mean? Is it
the only
change?
Reason why I'm asking is, will there be any reductions? Will it be maintained? Will it expand?
Oh, we don't have that yet. That's it.
So maybe the feedback that we get is what happens if there's a reduction, what happens if things maintain, what happens if things expand and identify priorities, similar to the
Home for Everyone. I mean, it's getting kind of technical. Well, the process is changing, though. So the Home for Everyone process from previous years, I don't know what that's going to look like with this new budget process, the program offer budget process of the city.
They still did that same exercise.
Okay.
This time around. If there are reductions, what do you protect? If things are maintained, what do you prioritize? If things expand, what do you expand with? What do you provide? What do you protect?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could do that style, if you want to do that style. Once we present here what all the program offers, this is what the rental services office funds. And if we expand, we should expand. If there are cuts, what should we cut?
So I have to say, as someone who just went through like a far too long and involved budget process with a pretty unclear federal budget and had various revisions. I have a concern with the RSC having saying like we want that to be cut or that's not. I know it's just feedback, but you all are the, I mean, you know your budget, you know your programs better than anyone, so I wouldn't want to give like your autonomy away or to even give the false impression that you're giving your autonomy away.
I appreciate that. I think the RSC members are, some members are inevitably going to say, okay, you've got $2 million, you've got about $1.6 million in services, and I forget what percentage of that $1.6 million is one-time funding and require re-upped funding, it's not ongoing. I think that you're going to give us that opinion either way. As an executive committee, I think it's certainly, I think that, and maybe this is where you're going, Ian, so if so, my apologies, but a discussion about, is there a product here, or is it simply a feedback session tomorrow? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We present, all right, $2 million, $1.6 million for services, half is one-time funding, and we need to be re-upped in the next budget. What's your feedback, or is it, are you wanting to write a letter? Or make some sort of other more formal recommendations other than just a general thanks for the overview, here are our thoughts for Bureau management, and please also share that with the commissioners if they're
Well, because there are going to be... Yes, and there are going to be people in the room that are going to have strong feelings about this. And I'm fine saying, oh, that's Matt's call, but I feel like, again, this is like the leadership opportunity for you, Christian, primarily, to be able to say for feedback, you know, say as much as you want right now, you know, guarantees. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, we're happy with just getting feedback as from the commission as an advisory body, and then considering that as we consider the budget.
Is the Bureau of the Mayor asking us to give that level of detail?
What level?
To advise on the budget so that the Bureau makes decisions based off of our RSC's recommendations, or is it more of like, here's this, here's your reaction?
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, I want to be really clear, we're not going to set a budget based. If the Rental Services Commission says all the money...
Scrap it all.
Yeah, we can scrap it all and all the money should go to this one service. We were probably not going to recommend that.
Okay.
But it's also not just a simple, here's our budget, and then some people say, oh, great. Some people say, oh, not so great, and do this. It's probably somewhere in the middle.
And remember, there's PHAC is the Budget Advisory Committee.
Yeah.
Right.
As staff, it really helps us to go to our smaller advisory groups and say, this is, we're talking specifically about this program, give us some feedback. And right now, we're just talking about the process. And from the city's perspective, it's about transparency. They've given the public these really rolled up numbers for years, and now they're gonna break it down further. And so we're gonna, as staff, gonna do that, and they're gonna bring it to the RSC and say, are we, does this look transparent to you? Do you understand the program and where the money's going?
That's really helpful to hear. Okay.
Also, I'll bring this up, the PHAC back. So PHAC with the addition of two staff. So our budget advisory committee is PHAC, plus two bureau staff, a non-represented non-management staff and a represented staff person. PHAC, yesterday afternoon, we met as the back, asked if at a December or January meeting, all of the other advisory bodies could have a representative join them for the conversation to weigh in on the budget, because we have five advisory bodies, to be able to, knowing that those other, the four other ones are not the back officially, and so that they can get their feedback from the other bodies at their deliberations in December and January as when they give their official budget advisory committee feedback to the Bureau. City Council, and that comes in the form of a letter. So, I don't know. Think about that. I don't know if you just want to, at some point, you don't need to decide right now because I'm just springing this, but if you want to just as an executive committee designate someone, or if you want to have the commission vote on someone, but it's not.
When is that?
What?
When is that?
This PHAC meets the first Tuesday of December and the second Tuesday of January, but they will likely need to schedule another 1 to 2 meetings. So the PHAC as the PAC will likely be meeting 3 to 4 times in December, January to be scheduled. So just to put it in the back of your minds, and I will flag that, and I think what I'll probably say is that I'll be working with the executive committee to designate a liaison, the RSC executive committee to designate a liaison to our budget.
Do we want to designate someone?
We could vote as a body, or it could be a Christian.
That's what you're asking us to decide now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. We have a little time.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, let's start in the group. Or we don't have to work the group, but it might be nice.
Good with that?
So is there anything you need from us on the rent registration or rental registrations?
No.
Okay.
I will be updating you to what the, doing a brief update of where the first phase of rental registration is at and what it looks like and what our outreach plans are.
Oh, is the software built officially?
There is no software.
No. Oh.
This is the year one attaching the requirement to the business income tax returns.
Oh,
it's
right.
The simple... Just tell us all of your units and the number and the address. BTS and things like that. So that
is that like the
we're working with BTS to scope it out. I mean, the big thing is we need to start. We've been working on the year one stuff, and the year one stuff is getting locked up. But we need to start looking beyond year one, which means we need to start a public process, which means we need the RSC agenda to
include it,
have some space for it.
Right, for you all to start getting up to speed on what it will be.
What were you saying?
Oh, nothing. I had a bad analogy to Jesus in year one.
Okay. And so what are the questions being asked? How many units do you have? Where are they? What's the rent?
It's a list of units.
The address.
What's the address?
Yes. Okay. It is address, zip code. Address.
Mandated for?
All landlords.
All landlords. Oh, so it's not a rollout.
No, it's a requirement in their business income tax.
Okay.
But there's no fee and no penalty in the first year.
What if it's owned by a private party and not like an LLC? Don't
private
business.
Party.
Yeah.
Well, Multnomah County is doing it too, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I should have said I don't know.
Right.
Any owner, if you own, whether you're a nonprofit, a for-profit, or an individual, if you own and operate rental housing in the city of Portland, you are technically, legally required to file, to register for a business license and to file a business income tax return.
Right now?
Yeah.
Starting at the end of this tax year.
You're not required to register, but you are required, because you're operating a business.
Oh, right. Some people have been given exemptions as well, if they make under...
Yeah, if you gross less than 50,000, which is most small landlords, because unless you own probably four or five properties, you're probably grossing under 50,000 a year. You don't have to file taxes. You just submit an exemption. And then several years back, the city stopped requiring the exemption because they grossed. But so it's not a registration of units.
So we're not going to
give
small landlords, yeah.
We will. It's a requirement for all landlords. It's changing.
I see.
Oh.
So every landlord now will be required to... So again, technically, for years, every owner of rental property has been legally required to file for a business license.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
It's not a rental registry, though. It's just some number of thousands of landlords.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're adding is that, so in addition to being legally required to register to get a business license as operating a business in the city of Portland, you now must also identify all of your rental units, effectively register, but identify them when you submit your annual business income tax return. And it's individuals and nonprofits, it's just called the business income tax return. So that's the year one with the software we've got. Basic registration to get a list.
So if Sarah, who owns one property, goes on TurboTax and the question comes up and says, do you own any property? She says, yes, it's going to direct her to report business income tax.
It should already, I don't know, I don't own rental property, but Revenue integrates their stuff, all their requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So it should have already identified you own rental property, you are required to register, you're required to have a business license in the city for that. And then this will just add to say you're required to list your units in your return. It's going to be a new schedule. It'll be Schedule R.
Okay. Interesting.
You'll learn all about it soon.
But it's all, like, to be really clear, and we'll talk about this in the full commission. This is a year one,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2 year solution. The revenue division is transitioning to a new tax system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called the IDES, tax information. Anyway, and really it's very focused on tax collection. So to the extent that we're trying to collect any additional information on registration, we will still need to identify it as a separate platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because their new system that they're transitioning to is not equipped with that kind of functionality. It's about, these are the taxes, here are the tax accounts, let's collect the taxes, kind of thing.
So it's not just going to be revenue only. Or it's not going to be revenue and taxes.
No, eventually, we will have the registration system. They will continue to collect taxes and fees if there is one associated with the registration, mm-hmm. but the registration system itself will not be housed in the Revenue Division. They don't see that as their function in government. It's not their function in government. It would be for the Rental Services Office, or theoretically, I guess BDS potentially with the inspections program, but most of the other bureaus have said, no, it makes sense to be the Rental Services Office. You've got the Rental Services Commission, you've got the Landlord Tenant Discussion.
Okay. Will this be annual for everyone?
I can't go today.
That's why you have to be rushing to get up. It's 3:30.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Nope.
Adjourned.